This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this edition that will eclipse all others. Well, not really. Just kidding. A little solar humor there. Anyway, the effort to repeal Obamacare. We're going to talk about that. It may still be alive, barely, but conservatives in the House are pushing another repeal effort forward. And a handful of members in the Senate are reportedly working on a plan they think can get the 51 votes required. We'll talk about that and the president's primetime speech tonight on Afghanistan with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan in just a moment. And CEOs that are putting their progressive politics above stockholder profits could find themselves in court. John Pritchett, senior vice president of the John Locke Foundation, has the details on that story. Also, the more the mainstream media attacks President Donald Trump, the higher he climbs in the polls. What's driving that inverse reaction? We'll talk about that with Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. All that's coming up on this Monday edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, check it out. Lots of information there for you. Also, information about our upcoming trip to Israel in April of next year. That's going to be here before you know it. Check it out, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, a few weeks ago, actually before members of Congress left for their August break, which is almost over, a handful of members, primarily the House Freedom Caucus, filed a discharge petition that would put a clean repeal bill of the Obamacare on the House floor. Conservative members can now start gathering the necessary signatures to force the House to vote on that legislation. Now, a discharge petition is a legislative tool that requires the signatures of 218 members of the House, and then immediately the bill goes to the floor for a vote. Also this evening, as I mentioned, President Trump will talk with our troops, talk to the nation about what's happening in Afghanistan, his plans, his strategy moving forward. With us now to discuss these pressing issues, Congressman from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio and the founding chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan. Jim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you today, Tony.
Hard to believe August will soon be over and Congress will be back in Washington hard at work. Let's talk about Obamacare repeal.
We never should have left, Tony. We call on staying there to actually get some things done. I mean, this is one of the longest breaks we've ever had, but hopefully we'll get back there and be able to get something done for the taxpayers and something done that's consistent with what we told the voters we're going to do.
Well, true, and I should have pointed out that the Freedom Caucus actually called upon Congress to stay in session until Obamacare was repealed, until we started to see the Senate move forward on a number of the president's nominees for the courts and others. So the Freedom Caucus was on record early, and we thought for a moment that that actually might happen.
I did too.
But in the end, it didn't.
We need an outline of a tax reform, and we also need to figure out what we're going to do on the debt ceiling. But most importantly, the issue you talked about is we needed to get some kind of consensus and conclusion and deal with this Obamacare problem that is driving up premiums for everybody.
Before we get into the details of what the House is doing and what may be occurring over in the Senate, let me talk about the broader issue. In your opinion, how important is it for Congress to keep their promise to repeal Obamacare and replace it with a policy that works for America's families?
American people hate a lot of things about Washington and the way Congress and Washington tend to operate, but the thing they despise the most is when you tell them one thing at election time and get in office and do something else. I mean, I've been all over our district the last 3.5 weeks, and it's just like I expected. People are upset. People are mad. People are disappointed because we told them one thing, and then we get there, and six Republican senators voted against the exact same legislation they voted for 18 months ago. Same sentences, same words, same commas, punctuation, period. Everything was the same except the bill number at the top because it has to be a different bill number because it's a new Congress. But it was the exact same language they voted for 18 months ago. And then 3.5 weeks ago, they voted against that legislation. How they can do that, I will never know. That's what ticks people off the most. And I say this all the time, but it's true. Our job is pretty basic. do what you told the voters you were going to do. Keep your word, keep your promises, go there and accomplish and do the things they sent you there to accomplish and do. That should be our charge, and unfortunately that didn't get done in the United States Senate 2.5 weeks ago.
Well, what is significant, I think, about the Obamacare is that for every election cycle since 2010, over the last 7 years, this has been at the top or near the top of every election cycle, which has expanded the Republican influence, control, leadership, if you will, in Washington. And I don't know what else the voters could give to the Republicans to make this happen.
Yeah, it's like we're afraid to go on the offense. We're afraid to do what we said we would do. Dick Armey has a great line. He says, when we act like us, we win. When we act like them, we lose. And the problem in Washington right now is not enough Republicans are willing to act like Republicans. Not enough conservatives are willing to act like conservatives. And that's what frustrates the American people so darn much. It's not that complicated. We said we would repeal it. Let's repeal it. The effective date wasn't until January 1st, 2019. We had plenty of time to work on the free market principles and concepts and policies that we know will bring down premiums. We had plenty of time to get the replacement element done. We should have just repealed it like we talked about on January 20th on Inauguration Day, like we all thought we were going to, instead of embarking on the plan we did.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along this Monday afternoon. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, the founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, is my guest. All right, Jim, everybody's pressure is up. We talk about health care reform that has not happened, the repeal of Obamacare. Let's talk about the way forward. Now, to your credit, to the credit of the House Freedom Caucus, they have been leading, and I want the American people, I want our listeners to know that not everything in Washington is broken. There are those that are trying very hard to follow through with their commitments, even to the point of irritating and agitating the leadership. The Freedom Caucus filed a discharge petition to put the clean repeal bill, the same one that we did in 2015, onto the House floor. How does that effort, how does it stand today?
We just filed that. We had to file it first, without getting into all the weeds, but we had to file first a rule, and then we filed the actual discharge petition itself a week, 10 days ago. When we get back, people will start putting their names on that. We believe we're going to get a lot of signatures. Our goal, of course, is to get 218 and go around the leadership. Speaker Ryan has said he won't put it on the floor. He said there aren't the votes for it. We think that saying there aren't the votes for it and when asking people when it's not official how they'll vote is different than actually calling the question and having the bill in front of them. So we want to get the signatures. We think if folks back home are saying to their member the same thing folks in our district are saying to me, then I think a lot of people are going to want to sign that discharge petition when they get back to Congress, back to Washington in a few weeks.
So the 218 number is the number that's required to pass a bill on the House floor. So if you get 218 members that sign the discharge petition, it automatically goes to the floor. And theoretically, and I would say, you know, practically, if this gets to the floor and you have 218 that have signed the discharge petition, you should be able to pass it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the goal. And what that will do then is it'll show the Senate there's no excuse now. You can't say, well, we didn't vote the same way 3 weeks ago like we did back in the last Congress because, you know, we thought maybe the House didn't have the votes. This just takes away all arguments, puts all the weight, all the pressure on six senators to do what you did before, do what you said you did, we were going to do, what we campaigned on in 10 and 14 and 16. It puts all the pressure where it belongs, and that's our motivation. That's why we filed it. And hopefully we'll be able to get the signatures and get this done.
Well, and to just remind folks, give them a little history lesson here of the Freedom Caucus and these efforts that they can play into. There was, I think it was it in 2015, that there was a motion that was suggested to vacate the chair. Yep. That was being led by the Freedom Caucus. That was when John Boehner was the Speaker of the House. And, you know, people laughed at that, mocked at it, said, yeah, you're not going to do that. Well, it happened right before you left for the August break. That became the issue in August. People began to speak to their members of Congress. And lo and behold, John Boehner saw the handwriting on the wall and he resigned from Congress. And there's been a move. maybe not as far as we want to go, but there's been a move to the right in the House. So people can make a difference on this by calling
sure
their
can.
Member of Congress and asking them to sign this.
Yeah, sure can. And again, like I said, we've been traveling across the 4th District, West Central, North Central Ohio, the last 3.5 weeks. And if it's anything like what we've heard from our constituents around the rest of the country, my guess it is, members are hearing, like, guys, do what you said. You told us you were going to repeal it. We elect you to do it. You said, first give us the House, give us the Senate, give us the White House. We did all that. We, as the voters, did everything we could to make that happen, and it actually happened. Now it's time to get things done. So get that done. Do the border security wall. Do the tax reform you talked about. Stand up for our values, our principles. Make sure our military has. Let's get those things done. We know the left's going to be against this. Holy cow, we've never seen the mainstream press more against the president in my lifetime. I've never seen it like this.
Incredible.
But that doesn't excuse us from doing what we said. We have the vote. Let's deliver. Let's get it done.
Well, I would argue that one of the reasons the president is facing increasing opposition from the media is the media thinks they have him on the ropes because he's not been able to succeed pushing his agenda through Congress. And I think if we would have seen the repeal of Obamacare go through and those senators would not have, you know, teamed up with the Democrats, that the president wouldn't be as vulnerable. I think they see vulnerability here. I think my opinion is, Jim, that there are those in the media that want to topple this administration, and they're doing everything to undermine this president.
You know, when it started, Tony, it started on November 9th in the wee hours of the morning when Donald Trump was named president of the United States, when he won the vote. That's when it started. We've never seen anything like this. Kyle Hammer had a good point a few weeks ago when he said he's never seen a major party question the legitimacy of an election like the Democratic Party has, and he's never seen an assist from the mainstream press in that same way, where they're just completely been out to get this president and what the American people elected Republicans to do since November 9th, since that election day in the wee hours of the morning on November 9th. They've been out to stop this administration and the things that the American people elected us to accomplish.
I don't think there's any question, beyond question. Jim, we're almost out of time. Quickly, what do you anticipate the president's going to say tonight about Afghanistan?
I'm like the rest of the country. I'm just anxious to hear what the president says. You know, this has been a tough situation. We've been there a long time, 16 years. I think a lot of Americans are wanting to hear what the president has to say and how is the best way forward, actually, what the best way forward is and what the president's plan is. So I'm going to just wait and listen to what the president has to say this evening, and we'll go from there.
All right. Congressman Jim Jordan, always great to talk with you, my friend.
You bet. Good to be with you, Tony. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Jim Jordan, 4th Congressional District of Ohio, founding chairman and current vice chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me give you that House switchboard number, because the offices are still staffed. The staff is still working, even though members are back in their districts. And you can call and say, hey, why don't you, I'd like to see my members sign on to this discharge petition in the House pertaining to Obamacare repeal. 202-224-3121. I'll give that out again a little bit later. All right, coming up next, CEOs that play politics that cost profits. We'll talk about that next.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? Our founding fathers knew that God's transcendent truth must be the foundation for all law. Since the early 20th century, however, truth-based rule of law has changed dramatically in America. The progressive era ushered in big change, shifting our standards to make it appear that truth is ever-evolving. America's founding fathers determined truth from a fixed source, God. But progressives determined that truth originated with man, thereby making it possible to change the truth in order to fit shifting cultural opinions and to undergird the power of those elected in office. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston reveals the importance of truth founded in God and the consequences of moral relativism. Is truth fixed or is it subject to change? The future existence of our free democracy hinges on answering this question correctly. Go to frc.org/decay to learn more.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tawny Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
To Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Hey, if you're in the within driving distance of Baton Rouge, I want you to mark your calendars for this. We're having a truth conference at my home church, Greenville Springs Baptist Church. It's September 15th and 16th. Alex McFarlane, Lauren Green of Fox News. We're going to have Frank Turek, Abraham Hamilton, and a great worship team with Jeremy Daly and myself. I'll be there as well. To find out more, go to truth2017.com. Truth2017.com. That's September 15th and 16th. All right. Last week, President Trump disbanded his business councils, the Strategy and Policy Forum and the Manufacturing Council, as several corporate CEOs resigned their advisory positions in protest of his initial comments concerning Charlottesville. Joining us now is John Pritchett. He is the Senior Vice President of the John Locke Foundation and has written, I think, a very insightful piece in the Wall Street Journal, claiming that in today's heated political climate, that some executives have rejected the fundamentals of business, that is to basically earn profits for their shareholders, in favor of short-term publicity for themselves and their corporations. But the point that he makes that when politics CEOs play politics, well, the shareholders could literally take them to court. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
Insightful piece, and you actually laid out the history going back to a case in the early 1900s where Ford in Michigan, a court decision there, saying that corporations have a responsibility to their shareholders.
Yeah, what a concept, right?
It's different today. We have seen in the last few years, I would say, activism on steroids by business CEOs that you would think that they were running nonprofits as opposed to for-profit companies.
Yeah, and that's our point, Tony, that they have shareholders. They have a shareholder primacy. Responsibility, kind of a standard of care, fiduciary duty, to do what's in the best interest of doing what publicly traded companies are supposed to do, which is to produce profits and shareholder benefits, long-term value. And, you know, you would think that some of this sort of, in my view, nonsense, non-productive sort of, you know, CEO social justice warrior stuff would be something that the board would frown upon. And but I suspect they're being largely unchecked by the board, which is the point that Ed Tiriakin and I, the professor from Duke, made here, which is, you know, their purpose is economic. And, you know, they're doing a wonderful thing when they're running these publicly traded companies. They're paid well for it. But the purpose is create jobs and add tax revenue and create wealth for people and expand freedoms. And that's all good for us all. And that's a wonderful thing to do rather than get involved in sort of culture warfare. And I think the timeliness of this, all of these folks leaving the White House Council on Manufacturing is what made this an issue that the Wall Street Journal was interested in publishing.
Well, in particular, you talk about, I mean, you talk about several, but one in particular, I think, is a shining example of this is the Target Corporation, where Brian Cornell, you know, getting out front, becoming a really an activist on the measure in North Carolina, their privacy bill. And we've seen the stock plummet. The share price has plummeted 40% for Target, and you make that point. Have you sensed or seen any restlessness among shareholders?
Well, there have been quite a few analysts who have opined about this, and not that you could necessarily have a direct correlation here, but, I mean, it's pretty clear that within a couple of weeks of my home state, North Carolina, passing there, bathroom bill HB 2, within a couple of weeks of that, the inclusive transgender bathroom bill or policy was announced by Target and Cornell. And pretty much from that point on, they were at a stock price in the mid-80s, all-time high. They have, over the period of, that was April 16th of 2016, and as of July of this year, the stock was at about 50. Which is about a $20 billion market cap loss. So now they're in a difficult industry, but you know, you can compare them to someone like Walmart and see a stark difference. And that's the point that Ed and I were trying to make in this article: is there is this purpose, there is this deliberation process that a CEO is responsible for. They're highly paid; they have to make decisions about the rationale, gather the information, do the deliberation. Have a business process, and then when you see something like this bathroom bill, which clearly one of the things that was missing was the deliberation here, because if Cornell had known his customer at all or surveyed his customer base, would have realized, you know, it's probably better that we spend time figuring out how to innovate and how to compete and how to market rather than trying to do some sort of social justice warfare here, because now all of a sudden millions of my own customers are boycotting me. And that brings the question of, what do we do about it? So our suggestion here is that although the bar is high for plaintiffs and there's wide protection for CEOs of publicly traded companies, they are not without limits. And there has to be reasonable judgment. And our view, in the case of Brian Cornell and others, there is a fiduciary failure, kind of a malpractice, if you will.
John, we're almost at the break, but quickly, do you foresee any class action lawsuits from shareholders against some of these progressive activist CEOs?
What we hope is, I don't know, it could very well be. It's not unusual to see this sort of action, but it really was to provide a commentary here on this, you know, corporate mismanagement and on questioning whether or not it's in the best interest. If you have a personal passion or a political view and you're the CEO, you're paid well, by all means, fund it. You know, give money to where you want, run for political office, but don't use the shareholder assets to fund your personal passion play.
John Pritchett, thank you so much. Insightful piece. I'm sure we're going to return to this topic many times. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, John Pritchett, he is the Senior Vice President of John Locke Foundation. I would encourage you to just take a look at this, especially if you're a shareholder of a publicly traded company. I had not thought particularly about this aspect of legal action against a CEO. Anyway, you can find it at TonyPerkins.com. All right, is there an inverse effect between the media attacking the president and people supporting him? That's next here on Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
A little bit of economic news coming out this week, some pretty important news in and around housing. That would be new home sales and existing home sales, both out this week, Wednesday and Thursday. Last Friday, we got consumer sentiment, the Michigan consumer sentiment number. And the consumer sentiment number was up for the month of August compared to July. But I think the real problem's going to be this week as we look forward is sentiment in general. And I'm speaking more of market sentiment and business sentiment as we seem to be losing a little bit of steam in both areas. That certainly is going to impact not only the markets, but we're probably going to be looking at how that is impacting the future of the economy. Of course, we're all hoping that something gets done in Washington at some point in time by mid-September, but we also have some tensions in North Korea once again rearing their ugly head. And of course, Donald Trump speaking about Afghanistan, and we'll have to see how the markets react to that. We are getting durable good orders on Friday. Durable good numbers for the month of June were up 6.4%. We get a July number on Friday, and I don't expect that we will see another 6.4%, though that would be nice. Also, Wednesday, we get manufacturing numbers coming out, and we'll see how that goes. That's a very important number, but we're going to be watching mostly homes, existing home sales and new home sales. And, of course, the important durable good numbers.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, check it out, tonyperkins.com. And if you're on Twitter, hey, you can follow me at tperkins. There's usually when I'm having various media interviews, like I had this past Friday, and daily tweet on kind of a biblical thought for the day. Anyway, you can check that out at T. Perkins on Twitter. Okay, it seems the more the mainstream media attacks President Trump, the better his polling numbers do. What's behind that? Here to talk about it is our good friend Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, is it just me or is it really happen? Is there this inverse effect when the media attacks President Trump trying to tear him down that people, the poll numbers show that people continue to support him? In fact, some of his numbers go up?
Well, I think the people who back Trump, they don't trust the media, they don't like the media, and they know that the media is run by a bunch of liberals, and that essentially the strategic goal of the media is to stop President Trump from achieving exactly those things that his supporters got behind him for, and they want to see him achieve. So I think the key for Trump is not what the media says about him in the next 6 weeks. It's about what he gets done legislatively to advance the promises he made when he ran for president.
So right now it would appear, and I'm going to actually ask this of our listeners here in a moment, in the next segment, but it would appear that his support remains steady, that he's not really losing much support. And as you pointed out, people don't trust the media. Could it be that the media is losing additional credibility with the American public because of these blatant attacks on the president?
It would be hard. It'd be hard for them to lose much more credibility than they've already lost. But I do think it's reflecting the deep polarization of our culture. People know the media is on the other side. If you're a conservative, if you're pro-life, if you're for limited government, if you're for putting the interests of the American people first, you know the liberal media is on the other side. And you do see through the attacks. You know, not that, you know, I think that President Trump is sometimes inept in his communication strategy. and he plays into the liberal media. But I think the people who believe in what he's trying to do see that the liberal media isn't going after him necessarily because of what he said that might have been inept. They're using what he said that might have been inept to try and stop him from achieving those good things he promised to do.
Yeah, Terry, that's what my take is, that his comments in the wake of Charlottesville were not the most artful. I mean, he wasn't as clear as I think he could have been calming down the situation. But it was to come up with the press's view of him as being supportive of white supremacists, you name it. You really have to twist what he said to come up with their take on it. And I think the American people see through that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, ironically, Tony, because the media hates Trump so much and they want to give him negative publicity, I think there's a potential there for him to go out and do things and say things that the media goes crazy over, but that not only reinforces support, but build it and build pressure on Congress to actually legislate the things he's looking to do. For example, he wants to build the wall on the Mexican border. I think most Americans agree with that. It's one of the reasons he got elected. The liberal media would go crazy if he focused on it as one of his communications items. If he went down to the border in Arizona, say, stood there as President of the United States and says, "We're building the wall, and I need Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan to give me the money. We're doing it." The liberal media would go crazy, but his base of support would expand. I think the same is true of his tax cuts. I think the same is true of the spending cuts and the program eliminations he called for in his budget. And there's going to be a huge fight over those things in the next 6 weeks because the fiscal year ends September 30th. And I think if President Trump really wants to succeed, he will use the media's hatred of him against them to drive into the public mind all the good things he's trying to do.
But, Terry, to your point, it's critical that the president rack up some legislative successes, because the public will, even though they support him, they want to see some things happen.
They do. You know, for example, Tony, and we talked about it before on your program, President Trump gave Congress an outstanding budget. It calls for eliminating all kinds of Corporation for Public Broadcasting, National Endowment for the Arts, National Endowment for the Humanities, Legal Services Corporations. These are federal agencies that year in, year out, not only waste Americans' money, but use them to advance liberal values that are against the values of the people who voted for Donald Trump. If you look at the appropriations bills coming out of the House Appropriations Committee, most of them fund most of the things that Trump is calling to eliminate. Now, they do eliminate Title X in their appropriations bills, which is great. That's a program that funds Planned Parenthood. Trump needs to make them stick to that. But he needs to fight with those leaders in Congress to get them to defund Corporation for Public Broadcasting, defund the National Endowment for the Arts. Because if they don't do it now, they never will. But if he can force Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell to take a stand on those things, the American people will rally around him and be thrilled about what he's doing.
I think you're right. I do not think you can ever count him out. It's been amazing to watch him over the last 2 years and how people respond to him every time the media attacks him. Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Tony.
Again, a great source of information, CNSnews.com. CNSnews.com, one that I check out almost daily. Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief, longtime political reporter. He gets it, he understands it, and they give you the straight scoop. So check him out. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. Just wait a minute. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. But it's going to be your phone calls. Coming up here next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
A story. Every American Family Radio listener has one. Take a moment to call and share your story of how we've impacted your life. It's easy to do. It's a voicemail, and we'll ask you to give your first name, the state you're calling from, and then your story. We're collecting these stories to celebrate how God is using American Family Radio. Phone 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
Would you like to know how you can help the American Family Association celebrate our 40th anniversary? It's simple. All you have to do is purchase your very own In God We Trust poster. You can frame and display it in your home, office, classroom, or get permission to hang it in a public building. Help us remind America of our national motto. Order yours today at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Some people like to brag about having friends in high places, but there is no friendship more enviable than the one Abraham had. According to the Bible, Abraham was a friend of God. What about you? Can you claim friendship with God? Psalm 25 tells us, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." Not only is that an amazing promise, it's a hint of the gospel in the Old Testament. And ultimately, this covenant would come through the one who made friends in low places. The King who came to serve, whose death and resurrection ushered in a covenant of grace. And if you know Him, then you are indeed a friend of God. You can get Anchor Devotional delivered in print monthly at getanchor.com.
I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, here's what we're going to do today. This is kind of a lightning round. I just want to get a gauge. I'm going to give you some numbers here in a minute of kind of what the pollsters are saying. And so I want to get a gauge, do our kind of our own test here. I want to know, you know, if you supported Trump, if you still support him, or if you don't support him, or if you didn't support him and you now support him, or whatever. You know, basically, has your support or non-support changed over the last 6 months for Donald Trump? Just, I supported him, I don't support him now. I didn't support him, I support him, whatever. Just let me know. We're not going to go into a lot of commentary as to why. I just want to kind of get through as many phone calls as we can to kind of get a gauge of what our listeners are thinking out there. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. 63% of Republicans and 50% of all voters believe that it is impossible for President Trump to do anything that the media will approve of. Right, people said, all right, the gig is over, media. We know what you're doing. So you've got 63% of Republicans and 50% of all voters now see it as being impossible for the president to do anything that the media would support. Also, over the course of the last week since the incident in Virginia, the polling data shows that his approval rating appears little changed, very little change, even though all of the, you know, 24/7 media coverage. What was interesting, Rasmussen polling, and this is them. You can go to the website and check it out yourself. Voters tend to agree. I'm going to read straight from their website, a release dated today. Voters tend to agree with President Trump's defense of historical statues, and few think getting rid of Confederate monuments will lessen racial tensions in America. Just 28% believe that the removal of Confederate monuments from many cities will help race relations. Interestingly, and again, I'm still reading from the release, interestingly, blacks, 43%, and other minority voters, 42%, are more likely than whites, 38%, to believe the removal of Confederate statues will hurt race relations. They believe it's going to create more tension. Look, there is a legitimate discussion to be had about this. And I actually, it was it just so happened as I was in this sermon series I'm doing, going through the book of Romans, we talked about this yesterday in part. And I do think that we as Christians need to be careful that we're not making something that is not essential to the faith something that we are willing to fight over to the detriment of the faith of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Just saying we should have a conversation. But there are those that are seeking to exploit this for something much bigger than trying to solve race relations in this country. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to divide this country even further and silence any conservative voice. But I just want to encourage us, you, we, as Christians, to be prayerful rather than reactive to what is happening, not play into the hands of those who are trying to divide this nation further. Okay, I want to hear from you. Where do you stand? Have you changed over the last 6 months in terms of your support or non-support for President Trump? And we got the phone lines are full, so keep calling in because we're going to roll right through them. We're going to go to Georgia first, where Sadie is on the line. Sadie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, Tony. I supported Trump in the primary, and I'm more for him now than I was. And people can say that they have waned, but in Georgia, I ain't heard nobody say that they are against him any less. The news meter is just pumping this up, and this is not true.
Okay. All right, Sadie, thank you for the call. Let's go to Scott in Virginia. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. I supported him before he was elected. I still support him. And actually, my support for Congress has gone down, especially the Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. I didn't think it could get lower, but it has.
Okay. Scott, thank you for the call. Let's go to LaDonna in Texas. LaDonna, you're live on Washington Watch.
Hi.
How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. So where do you stand with the president?
Voted for him. Still behind him 100%.
All right. You're still with him. All right, LaDonna, thanks for the call. Let's go. We're going to stay in Texas. We're going to talk to Ken. Ken, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Absolutely.
I supported the president well before when he said he was running. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I love him even more. And the thing that I love the most is the fact that he takes bad remarks from no one. If you don't have your facts straight, he does not put up with it. At first, I didn't really agree with all of the Twitter, but then I realized everybody says they want complete transparency. Well, he's talking directly to the American people every day,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And he lets everyone know what's happening, and I continue to support him, and I really hope Congress would actually just stop the political mess and just get behind them and support them, because that's what we put him in office for, and I definitely plan on voting for him. And I've seen a lot of people that I work with in my area that are getting behind him and starting to really understand, and they're even Democrats and starting to understand, okay, they're literally trying to crush him. And the more they do that, the more and more people, I think, in my area are starting to understand and get behind him and say, let's let him try something.
All right.
Nothing is doing.
All right, Ken, thank you for the call. I want to try to get as many callers as I can today. And by the way, I'm not screening the calls. I mean, you can be against Trump, and your call's going to go through. So I'm just going down the list as they come in. All right, let's go. Thank you, Ken, for that call. Let's go to Sam in Arkansas. Sam, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Tony, for what you guys do. I look up to you guys to tell us the truth, and you always have, and I appreciate AFR for what they do. And also, I, of course, support Trump from day one. I still support him probably more than I did before. I'm down on the Congress and the Senate because they won't get behind him. I support them less than I ever did. So I go by individuals, not by Congress. So.
Okay. All right, Sam, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening, and thank you for those kind words. Tennessee, Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. I supported him somewhat in the very beginning, and he grew on me through the whole campaign. I thought it was amazing that he came from behind and had such an incredibly successful race. And I just want to say that I believe that this man is totally right to have this ban on these countries that have so much terrorism. I hope he extends that ban all the way until the next inauguration day, and I hope he adds countries to that ban. It has been an absolute epic disaster what Europe is going through.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we saw that last week with Barcelona. Mark, thank you so much for the call and for listening. We're going to Louisiana, where Wanda is on the line. Wanda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. I represent about 10 other people in my family who voted for Trump. They support him even today, with just about everything that he has done. I feel he's a strong businessman, and I don't look at him as a politician. Thank goodness. I don't want another politician. And I believe that the news media has created and still creates the fake news, even though they want to point fingers at Trump. It's abominable, and I am proud to have him as my president.
All right, Wanda, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think I hear this a lot. He's not a politician. I know he's in public office, but he doesn't do the typical political thing where he tells you what you want to hear. And he doesn't put all the political spin. In fact, I mean, even his vocabulary that he uses sometimes, I scratch my head, you know, in terms of this is bigly. This is huge. I mean, it's very simple, but very straightforward. And in my view, hard to misinterpret. Of course, the media does a really good job of twisting. All right, I'm going to continue here, try to get as many calls as we can. Let's go to Catherine in Texas. Catherine, welcome to Washington Watch.
Okay. Hello, Tony. God bless you for all you do. Yes, sir, I supported President Trump from the second he announced he was going to run because he was not going to be anybody's puppet. I pray for him. I pray the scriptures over him. And I pray especially the one that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, but he shall refute every tongue that rises against him in judgment.
Well, and we should pray. We should pray for the president and all of our elected leaders as we're instructed in scripture to do. So thank you, Catherine, for praying, and thank you for those kind words. Let's go to Arkansas, where Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Listen, I'm good.
I don't get to hear your show as often as I'd like to. I fully support the president. I think it's time that Congress realize the man actually won the election, and their job is to support him and what it is that he's trying to do. I believe he has a lot of good things he wants to do for our country, but I think Congress is scared, honestly. I think they're just, I don't know what they're afraid of. They got everything. They got both houses and the White House. And I think if the constituents, and this is the thing that I want to point out, would start bombarding these people with phone calls and making them understand, look, we're paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I go all the way back a few years back when Chuck Schumer ran his mouth when he was sitting out there on an off mic and said, we can do whatever they want. Nobody's paying attention.
Well, people are paying attention. I think this past election showed that. And I do think there's a huge difference. It goes back between the president and Congress. It goes back to the issue of he's not a politician. He's not thinking about what's politically palatable. He's thinking about what's possible and what needs to be done. Now, that said, I mean, the Congress is separate. It is a check and a balance to the president. And I think that's where you come in. The listeners of this program, the citizens of this country, that they need to hold members of Congress, as I was talking with Jim Jordan earlier about, that since 2010, when the Republicans regained the House after the 2009 passage of Obamacare, they have run on the repeal of Obamacare with each election cycle. They gained the control of the House. They then gained the Senate. They now have the White House. It is time for them to act. And so in that case, you are absolutely correct. All right. Thanks, Mike, for the call. Let's go to Catherine in Virginia. Catherine, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I do not support Donald Trump, mainly because I don't support bigotry and racism and misogyny and all of those things that he represents as a vile human being. But it is interesting to see how many Christians are willing to surrender the moral high ground to support
him. Now, what, did you support him before? Have you supported him before?
No.
Okay, so you've never supported him. Okay, all right.
I don't really understand how anybody who calls himself a Christian could, but...
And so, in that case, then did you vote for Hillary Clinton?
I did not vote.
Oh, you didn't vote. Okay, so you in essence, you by default, that was a vote that went to Hillary Clinton.
Now, if you want to look at it that way, if you weigh and measure the two, I certainly think she was probably the wiser, more stable, more intelligent, bigly.
Benghazi.
Is really not a word.
Benghazi, Planned Parenthood. That's a stretch. I mean, I clearly can understand those who have dropped their support for whatever reason. But, if you didn't support him, well, I'm not going to go there. Don't have time to go there. But I will go to John in Tennessee, who also says he doesn't support the president. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I want to say that my support for this particular administration hasn't been high from the get-go, but it's at rock bottom after scandal after scandal after scandal. I'm an attorney myself, and I deal with immigrants almost exclusively, and to see the problems that this has put into their lives due to this president's policies, it's heartbreaking.
Okay. All right. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. Very quickly, going to go to Matthew in Oklahoma. Matthew, 30 seconds.
Hey, sir. I do support him, and I support him because I want my kids and their kids to have a future, and I think that God chose him. He's full of faults, just like the rest of us, but I'm praying for him. Thank you, sir.
All right, Matthew, thanks for the call. Other callers on the line, sorry we didn't get to all of them, but I went right down the line, folks. And look, we can have differences on this, and I clearly understand that. And I think the president and his administration could handle some things better, differently. But I believe, and I was not an early supporter of the president. I only supported him when it was either him or Hillary. And I know that he has embraced policies that are much more in line with Christians in this country. And let me just tell you this. To this point, and I will tell you if it changes, to this point, the president has kept his word on these issues and has continued to work to advance those. And as long as that's the case, and as long as we get policies that reflect the values that will make America good so that it can be great, I'll be there. But I call them balls and strikes. I'll tell you how I see it. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Listen in to the president tonight. Also, if you missed anything on your way home, check us out, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.